In this week, in November 2024, AFC Wimbledon knocked franchise out of the FA Cup. To quote Josh Neufeld, three in a row. We're the same old Wombles. We're back. Hello, dear listener. Welcome to the Same Old Wombles. It's just a small group today. It's just myself and Adam Proctor, Don's Trust Board electee, nominee. Anyhow, so I'm joined by Adam, and we're going to just chat through a few things. We'll obviously have a little bit of a chat about the glorious FA Cup first round.
I don't remember agreeing to
We'll definitely chat
that.
about that, and we're going to have a little bit of a look back again at the 50.01 because, slowly we're putting all the pieces together. The Don's Trust Board elections are coming out and we'll just have a bit of a chat about that. And yeah, that will take us through. So we'll see how long this one lasts. I know that the last pod we did with our good friends at the 9 years lasted about an hour and an hour and a half. This one will not last that long. That was quite nice, wasn't it? That little chat with the 9 years podcast, nice chaps.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great. I thought we freshened stuff out. Yeah, there was some positive feedback I've seen from it. So that was, yeah, I thought it was really good. And I was, we released it obviously as like a special. They released it in their normal schedule. I think we'd hoped to have one between then and now, but we had the SGM and that obviously kind of threw
It's
our week out of schedule. But
been
yeah, no, I
it's.
really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great conversation. And again, proving that we can have, sensible conversations about things that are quite complicated, potentially quite gnarly, etc. So yeah, I was really pleased.
Yep, it was great. And thank you very much. And I'm sure we'll do some other co-productions at some point. I know people are obviously thinking why there's so many podcasts out there. But everyone's got slightly different opinions. And I think from our point of view, we're just a group of old guys who are just having a bit of a laugh. And we'll carry on doing it.
Hey, I think we have said before, some of this is an excuse for us just to be able to talk about football outside of the Saturday when we're running around. And it also is kind of a bit of an excuse where we can say to our family, "Hey, I've got to do the podcast." But actually what we mean is, "Hey, I just want to chat to my friends."
That's right. We want to connect with our 15 thread followers. And just so anyhow, let's just talk a little bit of football because we got to go back a little
Yeah,
bit
go on, Matt. You
because the
lead this.
yeah because we so we go so we did the we recorded the special on the Friday up here. Me and Niall were up in Stoke.
Of course, yes.
Bizarrely, our relatives, we found out our relatives are in Stoke, came from Stoke. And so Niall had pulled this whole thing together. So we literally did a walking tour of Stoke, but not the central bits, not like where the ta nice town bits are, but the outskirt bits. So I seem to be walking along a lot of dual carriageways and past a lot of retail parks and along a deserted canal, which was terrifying. I mean, it looked like it should be a lovely little walk along a canal, but I swear we could have fallen in there and no one would have ever found us. It was just a bit weird. And
That's
then we
mad.
get then we finally so while we've done this walking around, we've done all of our tour, we've tracked down all these, we've stood in streets that have basically been demolished because people lived here back in like the 1800s or whatever it is. Now it's a flipping, some sort of modern Latter Day Saints church. Anyhow, it was just a bit weird. Finally, we get right. We walk our way towards the ground for to Vale
So
Park.
hang on, were you doing all that walking around on the Saturday morning?
Yeah, man, we walked around the Friday, we walked around the Saturday, we walked everywhere, and we so we thought we'd try and find a pub to go into, to say, let's try and find somewhere. And we're putting up where's everyone? No one's meeting anywhere. There's nowhere. I think the only place that you the away fans can meet is like outside the Stoke Stadium, which is a good 2 or 3 miles away from where Port Vale is. So it was just It was just really, really, it was just a very odd experience. I think we got to one point. I'm trying to find a pub for us to go in, and there's one that says Vale fans only, and then under it in red writing it says Judy's in here, and we're just like, we can find out who Judy is because we're not Port Vale fans, but I'm sure there are lots of Port Vale fans listening to us right now. Who fuck is Judy? And what was she doing in that pub for Port Vale fans? Anyhow, so you didn't feel particularly welcome. We go in, watch the game. I mean, there was a point in it where we're two down after what, 11 minutes or something. And I just think that we could get slaughtered here. It could be, five or six. We get back into it, and then immediately give away a goal and it's 3-1. Then we get a great enough. Nuffield scores a lovely little goal, a lovely little move, scores a goal under the keeper, 3-2, and then there's that mad scramble at the end, and it could have been 3-all, and it would have been amazing. And it's that, if onlys, take out the first 10 minutes, but you can't give a side like Port Vale near the top of the league a 2-goal start. Absolutely ridiculous.
No, I mean I watched it on the whatever, and of course it's been a week, so I was hoping to remember more. But I
Hoping
actually
to erase it.
exactly no, but I started to enjoy it, and I was like, I think people here thought that we'd won because I was kind of getting really excited towards the end, and we certainly looked like we deserved a point, and it was yeah, it was like yeah, but I'm also like quite. Based on your story, I'm also quite pleased now that I didn't attempt to get there when I originally was thinking I should, and then had other arrangements, because it sounds like there was no pub before the game. What the heck?
No, so it there is a there is I mean like, we were lucky. It was a sunny day, so there's a little fans area like out. You go into the ground, and there was a little. There's a little. Well, there was a. There was a. I mean, I felt so sorry, but there was a kiosk. There was like a couple of kiosks there, an outdoor area. I mean, in the when it's rainy and windy, no one is standing there. But it was a nice day, so we're standing outside. There's a little van that's selling beers and whatever it is. So we go and have a couple of beers out there and there. And there's a guy selling hot dogs next door, and obviously, it's coming up to Halloween, so they're all dressed up in Halloween outfits. It's just, and I was just like, I felt so sorry for these guys. I mean, look, be all right if you're with the Port Vale fans, but you're with the opposition fans, and it just like really. And there was a moment where the gas in for the pints broke. And sort of like, suddenly everyone's evacuating because you can smell the gas coming out. It's just like, is this going to blow up now? Are we going to be a news story?
And did you manage to catch up with Mark? Because he was going there as well as a representative, I believe, for the Don's Trust
Yeah,
board.
Tormark was in the director's area, eating the prawn sandwiches. But no, we didn't actually catch up with him, so that went a bit wrong. And yeah, no, but he just got there, ate his sandwiches. He blanks us now, to be honest with you. No, he's moved on.
So, okay, so Matthew, the last thing on this, right? You obviously, when we were trying to work out some away games, and I know we'd like to try and do another one, and Port Vale came up, and then I couldn't do it. And then I was looking at like cheap Airbnbs or whatever, and obviously, you guys went and stayed in somewhere pretty plush. And then what happened? What happened?
Yeah, so because we're staying out of, and Niall wanted to get us a place, so we're on the outskirts, but I say walking distance. We're as near as we can get to. I don't think there's any. I'm sorry, Stoke people, but there didn't seem to be any particular hotels that were out near the ground. So we stayed in the Hilton there. On again, it's on. It was in a retail park, so we're right next door to a huge Water World. And there's an Odeon, massive Odeon, like a huge 30-lane Tenpin bowling alley, all that sort of stuff. And to eat, there's like it was nowhere nearby to eat. So the first night we're there, we're eating in a Toby Carvery. That was the extent. That was the culinary delights that we had. Tell you what, though, good, great bargain. Not so good for vegans, I don't think, Adam. Anyhow, so we've checked in, and we've got the lift down, as so we've opened the doors. To sort of like, start our walking adventure. Coming towards us is JJ. All the team, the whole team, everyone is staying in the Hilton. So we're mingling with everything. In the evening we have a just the most amazingly lovely long chat with Terry Skivington. So we've come back from our marathon walk, and Toby Carvery, and then we're chatting to Toby, and he's Terry Skivington, and he's brilliant. He's just like, giving us loads of time or whatever. And then the following morning for breakfast, they're all down for breakfast, and we're like hanging out with Josh Nerville and Omar's there and whatever it is. And we're having our pictures taken with Hasbulla. I'm trying now at this point not to have a selfie with every single one of the players and whatever it is. So, but that was nice, and it was a good insight, And we were thinking that on the Saturday for the match they would get up and have a sort of like early breakfast, and then they might be, because there was a pool there in a gym, then they might be in the pool in the gym getting ready for the game. They were saying, no, that's not how it is. They chill out on a Saturday. They'll just relax. Then they'll have a meeting in the hotel room. They'll go through some stuff there, and then they get to the ground. So it's all chilled. Do you know what I mean? It isn't. So I don't know. For whatever reason, we kind of thought that they might be in the pool or using the gym or whatever it is before going, but that's not how it is. So it was just they have their breakfast, they relax, and then there's a certain time they'll have their team meeting. But it was quite fun, and we met some other Wimbledon fans there. Everyone was like a bit like, wow, it's
Yeah,
crazy.
that is funny that you
It was
happened to
great
pick the
fun.
same hotel they were in. That's must and
yeah
like the
yeah
lift is kind
so
of the
if
sliding doors moment. The lift opens, you're like, hang on
and
a
there they are.
That's
So all
funny.
I'm saying is, if for whatever reason we're playing Port Vale again next
Go
season,
to the Hilton.
go for that away place. You know where they're going to be staying. So
Wonder if you've got a deal with like
that was
Hilton's or
cool.
something. I don't know, because there's probably quite a few near to different grounds, isn't there? I will yeah. Nice.
Exactly. So it was up. That was just amazing. And then so anyhow, we lost it. We played well. We lost it. It felt like it was the same. Niall, who'd been up at Notts County the week before, said it was the same sort of thing. We played really well and got nothing for it. I mean, like we didn't play that great in the first half, to be honest
No, I
with
was going to
you.
say the second half, people really came out on it, and I mean, I don't. Again, when I was looking, I was thinking, why don't we do that from the beginning? Like it, and it did seem again that the last knockings was an insane. Like it was so frantic and exciting. Actually, just watching, I was like, what do we need this? We don't need this pressure. Why do we need this pressure to turn that stuff on? I don't know what exactly. Whether there was a
I know.
tactical
I mean,
change or whether something transformed it, but it was just a bit frustrating. I was like, could we have not had that earlier on?
we came out feeling really proud. All of us were really proud. We lost, and I mean, like, if it had been a draw, it had been like a win. It had been amazing, but we felt really proud. And then, so obviously, following on from that, we've had the there was a game apparently midweek in some weird competition. I don't know. So that's that was neither here. But the only thing to say on that is that I think there was a lot of opportunities for fringe players, and they didn't take their chances.
There was
So
loads of changes, wasn't there? I think there was
yeah,
something like 11
loads of
changes or
changes.
something.
So yeah, that's so so it didn't so it meant when we comes around to Sunday that JJ's he's got his team picked, and it was an obvious choice. And I mean, the FA Cup is still, for me, it's still an amazing tournament, and I love it. Threw up some wonderful surprises. I actually sat and because the game wasn't on, and we always make that choice that we will never go to that stadium. That's our choice. I mean, I was really, do you know what? I was wonderfully proud that we took that many people there. I love the fact that we had almost 2,000 fans there. It was that for me is amazing, and they sang their hearts out, and they were brilliant. And I hopefully they didn't buy anything. I haven't seen any reports of trouble, but it's not. I'm just not prepared to set foot. It just make me so angry. I'm not prepared to set. And there's a few of us like that, and that's our choice. The choice of a lot of other people was to go and support the team, physically in person. And I think JJ after the game was sort of like saying he recognised that there were lots of people who it's great the people who were there in the stands, but he also recognised a lot of people didn't go, and he was saying that that victory was for whoever, whether you're there or you weren't. I think he was really good in that. Yeah, it's a difficult one. Well, it's not a difficult one. I won't go. I mean, and you don't go to the home games, so which again, I mean, like, I think people have got a choice, and I've, you know, and that's it. And I think for us in our unique position at as AFC Wimbledon fans, we have that choice, and I think that's a great thing.
And I don't think either decision reflects badly upon us, actually. If you know, as long as everyone behaves, which, as you said, I believe was pretty much the score. You know, yes, there's a heightened police presence, and I'm sure there was a number of things where they had to kind of be aware of that kind of stuff. And but yeah, and also yeah, I hope. I mean, I know because I've heard, seen some videos and whatever that a lot of people said that they bought food and whatever before they got anywhere near the stadium, and they wouldn't spend any additional funds behind the stadium. I mean, I was disappointed that the game was ticketed at the cheapest ticket prices possible, which, again, from what I understand, there wasn't much consultation with us about that and how that should function. And for cup games, you're supposed to have that kind of consultation. So that's a bit frustrating. But they continue to try and create the frenzy that they want in that space. So they're going to make
And
cheap
that was the
tickets
most,
on
there
that.
was a brilliant, there was some great stuff on socials. And I think it was the Don Centre. I might be crediting them wrong, but I think it is, who came out with this wonderful little montage, because apparently before the game, their manager had started saying, get your auntie, bring your mum, bring your sister, bring your brother or whatever, get them all along. And, you know, like, well, let's have it. And, but then it's sort of like, then it goes from that to like us, you know, us scoring our goals and whatever, and obviously Lemons getting sent off, which is just the most, that's just the icing on the cake. That was just brilliant. But there was,
I mean, I have to say one thing. I was going to say before you go, one thing that I've realised is that Asda clearly are really good at designing stadium, because the sound from our fans when we cheered was great. It sounded amazing on all the videos. So I don't know what kind of acoustics Asda understand, but when Walmart want to build a stadium, are they good at acoustics when you've got a couple of thousand Wimbledon fans getting very
But
excited?
you could see that they were tourist fans. They're sort of like, you know, it's a curiosity. It's an FA Cup game. The tickets are going on. I think they were going, some tickets were like a fiver. So like five,
Fiver for kids, tenner for adults.
yeah, ten. So they were dead cheap on a Sunday morning. Dead cheap, something in your local area to do. But when Matty Stevens scores the first goal, he goes and stands right in front of the away fans, you know, giving it. But none of their fans react. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if one of their players had scored in front of us, what it would be like? It'd be bedlam. But they're just, because they're just not into it. It really is that sort of like, it's a sort of tourist thing. There's no real commitment to them whatsoever. I mean, I just think it's, and you couldn't really hardly see any of their tops in the crowd. It was just, it was, it's just, it still feels like a bit of a curious, like a day out sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's not like there's a real passion or commitment there. And I guess the reason that they had the ticket prices as they are, because they know that if they put up any higher, like literally if they were 15 quid of tickets, they would have lost, you know, 1 or 2,000 at least people, because they weren't, you know, like everyone's prepared to pay a tenner. But any more than that, they're not. That's why they do the pricing, because, and they're obviously, you know, being bankrolled or whatever. Because I can't see how it's sustainable. But anyhow,
Well, yeah.
it's, you
I mean,
know,
it's been
just,
bankrolled since the beginning. The stadium was paid for, et cetera, et cetera. We know that, and they haven't done what they thought. They've had options to do things. We've talked about this before. Milton Keynes could have had a football club, should have had a football club. They didn't want to go about it the right way, and they allowed the whatever happened. And for those fans that were there, you know, well played for going and being, you know, as respectful as possible to something that was a situation that should never have happened. And I would find it so stressful. But I did like the call where they came in the red buses. That was pretty cool as well. Proper classic London buses, you know.
Yeah.
So loads of nods to us, you know, which is fantastic. So
the fans are brilliant as always, and the team was fantastic. Obviously it wasn't on live anywhere, not a problem, but everything, all the reports about it, everything I've heard since and taken in is, you know, the various different vlogs, it seems like everyone was vlogging about it. There were like four or five different vlogs, and that, it's like the number of podcasts there is for AFC Wimbledon. There was that many vlogs out there. But everyone was saying we sort of like dominated it from start to finish. And, you know, it could have easily been three or four.
And I've got to say, I think Nerfville, I played a blinder from the clips I've seen. Some of the moves that Nerfville was doing were fantastic. And when he was slowing the game down, you know, I'm not a massive fan of the in the corner kind of stuff. But it was like he slowed it down. He was holding onto the ball in the corner, literally gets fouled. Another one of our players, can't remember which one, picks it up, you know, and is fouled. You know, and there was a real sense to kind of figure out how to make sure that we finish the game properly, you know. But we're still attacking moments. And a couple of the balls that Nerfield played were fantastic.
He has got... He's coming onto his own. He's... That position to him on the... Right there. I mean, he has got the beating of those players. I mean, he... Just amazing. Right or left?
Yeah, right. He's on the right. Yeah, no, because I was trying to work that. I was working that when I was watching. I was like, where is he now? Where is he positioning himself? But yeah, I'm really dead impressed.
Because against Notts County, he was coming down the left. But he's just I'm sure he's left. He's just he's brilliant. And now, just putting this out there, his contract expires in the summer.
Oh, why did you even tell me that?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I've been picking up today. But I think it's great that we've now got this conversation going about him, because he has got the beating of loads of players. He's just really coming into his own.
And we know that Craig is going to be listening to this podcast and using us as the benchmark for working out whose contract should be extended. So, you know.
That's right. Of course he is. We're 253% official. You know,
we know what's going on.
And just as a side note to being official, before we move on into another thing, is that I noticed today I was on the Don's Trust board website, and they were saying about frequently asked questions about the 50.01. They say if you want to find out more, you can listen to the official podcast, you know, Aaron Paul interviewing Graham Price, but you can also listen to Graham Price on the same old Wombles, or Chris Stewart and Charlie Talbot on the same old Wombles. So we can't be any more. And that's right. I say how official we are that obviously we've got, and we'll come on to this a lot later, but I've got to take a bit now. Tall Mark, who was, you know, obviously on the podcast originally, went off and stood for the DTB. Hasn't been on the podcast. He's been on the DTB. And you, Adam Proctor, you've thrown your hat in the ring. You're now standing on the DTB. So that's how official we are as a podcast.
And Alex has been on the podcast. He was never officially a member, but he's obviously, we tried to kind of get him in and make him official. And then he got co-opted. And then he was never allowed back on to this podcast.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right. Oof. That's right. Well, we'll talk that in a sec. We've got through to the second round. We've got Dagenham and Redbridge in the second round, which is, I think, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a tough game. It's at home, probably on the Saturday, which is the 30th of November.
What league are they in?
They're in the conference. But Paul Calabai, ex of this parish.
No.
Is Why? Now. So and they beat, I think they beat Crewe away. So they went up to Crewe and they won. So Crewe are doing well. So we're not gonna take it lightly. This is gonna be a tough match. But
That should be a sellout, hopefully.
It depend. I guess it depends on pricing. It genuinely does. That's going to be the thing. How much we charge. I mean, if it's a, a tenner, then yeah. But I think we more. But they'll sell out their end. I mean, it'll the Daggers will it'll be chocolate. It's the District Line Derby. We wouldn't.
District Line Derby. Okay, cool. I'm gonna
I love
remember
it. I
that.
love it. I love it. I can't remember who came up with that. That's brilliant on social. Absolutely fantastic. Anyhow, so it's been great. I mean, I just enjoyed that so much. Enjoyed watching it. Enjoyed hearing all the stuff about it. And after this, I'm going to watch the Dons Uncovered. I've not watched
I
that
haven't watched
yet,
that
and
yet either. Yeah, that is
I
cool.
love that stuff. That's brilliant. Chris and the team there do a brilliant job with that. So then let us wind ourselves back again to ongoing 15.01. And I think we start with the SGM last week. So we had the meeting on Monday evening. All the Dons, most of the Dons Trust board were there on the stage, and then there were people. There was, I think, something like 38, 40 people in the room. There was 100 odd people online listening to it, of which I was one. It's really difficult, this. And I know that obviously there was SGM recently, which packed the room out, that a guy Doobs, Graham Stacey had pulled together. And I think the difference with that is that that was a real sort of like movement. There was a whole load of people there who really got behind it, and it sort of like created a real vibe. And obviously there was the flyers and constant stuff on socials and whatever it was, which the Don's Trust board didn't do. But my other thing,
And I think I was going to say, Matt, on that, I think it was a little bit of an unfair comparison to say, well, look at all the numbers we got at the members' SGM versus the SGM that was called afterwards. Because I know we want people there, obviously, and we want more online, but there wasn't the same sort of noise about it. And
In theory, though, it should have been. I mean, like, it is the one of the biggest decisions we're going to make. I mean, fortunately, I think also the vote wasn't on that night, whereas the vote at the SGM, I think, was all leaning towards that. But
Because that's one of the things that's changed. But I also was going to say, in terms of like, I'm not defending the Don's Trust board at this point already. I think a lot of the info was just information that you had to have, and attending that meeting was it was a moment where you could ask questions related to that information. So whether that information was really well communicated, and also, I mean, the other thing is that it's still an SGM, so you have to be a member to go to it, etc. So I don't think the Don's Trust is going to go out of their way to sort of social media advertise it.
yeah, I think we've got a real problem, which needs to be addressed, which is that we have it's a 3 hour meeting on a Monday, and it's I mean you can't I think I genuinely think you need to start doing these things in a different way, because it just turns people off. And it's the same faces in the room, and they're generally of a generation, and they're generally of a gender, and you look at it and you just go, but it's such a shame that we can't think of different ways to engage. I think that you could have different sorts of sessions, like breakout tables, like different tables, but not have all those sessions all at once. You could say you can come along to a session at the club on these particular days, but then you could have online sessions at more reasonable times that are like an hour or whatever it is, and you can have people going out into breakout rooms and discussing, and then bringing that information back, rather than having a single session, which is, it just isn't going to it's just not going to engage young. Why would I, as anyone under 30, 40, really, what I don't understand how I would want to spend my Monday evening listening to that. You've got to be really dedicated. I mean, we've met When we're up in Port Vale, we were talking to some Wimbledon fans who've been lifelong Wimbledon fans, but have got no interest in going on to those meetings. There has to be other ways of reaching out. And maybe this is our job in a way. Do you know? It's like to answer some of these questions. But yeah, there needs to be, I think, Adam, when you get on the board, yeah, there needs to be different ways about how we engage and how we hold those meetings. I mean, and to make it, and there shouldn't be any reason why some of those meetings can't be hybrid, online and in person. But there could also be different ways that people engage. And I know that we're recording this on a Monday night, and there's a session for Wimbledon fans,
Oh yeah, 18 to
18 to
24 year
24,
olds today, isn't it?
I'll be really interested to know how well attended that is.
I'm worried that it won't be that well attended because again, I don't remember seeing it. I mean, it was communicated by the club, so it's a different communication channel to the Don's Trust. But yeah, my concern as well was that if it's not that well attended, then will they do another one, all that kind of stuff. But of course, you have to kind of build momentum with this stuff, and you have to provide things that people really want to engage with. And again, a Monday night, the week after half term for 18 to, okay, they're at college, 18 to whatever. But they still have half terms. It's like this is probably their first day
Yeah, I
back.
mean, well, I mean, I guess I mean, there are a lot of 18 to 24-year-olds who are busy in work, and but again, on a Monday night, it's maybe not the best time, but it just feels that there needs to be a more imaginative way of including people. And I've talked about, in terms of engaging young people, one thought I've had is that we should be talking to universities. Talk to local universities and colleges about them standing on DTBs or whatever, because I'm sure that there's going to be universal college degrees which are looking at democracy, looking at politics or even sports or whatever it is. So what a way to engage them, saying, listen, if you come, what are some of your students, or like come along to some DTB meetings, and then maybe even stand. So, why not encouraging, because it could be part of a dissertation or a project or something like that. I just think there could be other ways of doing it. And again, talking to local community groups, we haven't got, we'll come on to it later on, but it's not, our board is not diverse. And so we need to think about ways of engaging people that way. But engagement with local communities, engagement with different groups, it's got to be the way forwards.
Yeah, I don't think I have much to add to that other than, yeah, we definitely need to think about better engagement. And I think you're right that we need to then shake up the way that we approach certain things. AGMs have particular requirements. SGMs have particular requirements. So I think that there's probably a different space for debates, conversations, Q&A, all that kind of stuff that could happen in quite a vibrant manner that allows it to be, yeah, shorter, more engaging, more reflective, more thoughtful, and I certainly, there's a book called The Art of Gathering that I really like, that really kind of has some really kind of pro tips on like when you gather people together, you have to have some really good reasons for them to be there, and whether that's online or not. And I think that it was, again, this SGM felt a little bit too open, although we had two specific things to talk about. It felt, again, that it was kind of, I'm not sure why we were gathered there in that moment, because it could have, those questions could have been asked of video recordings, could have been asked of other things, and then it could have maybe been a bit more interesting and you could dip into it as you need. I don't, because there was no vote. So it's like, other than it becoming then a bit of a weird debate, but there wasn't a debate. I mean, it was interesting and, but yeah, don't think it's easy, but I think there are better ways to do some things that we're doing, particularly when we have a vote that requires a large majority of people to participate and then to vote in a particular direction.
And I think the other thing that came out, which didn't do them any favors at all, is there's a strategy document that's coming out, which is going to talk about how the money's going to be used. Because again, there was confusion about how the money's being used, but it is really to pay off the debt. Don't get confused with it being used to get us into the championship or whatever. ain't happening. It's being used. It's, you know, if we go down to this level, the idea is that there's, you know, hopefully we can get the funds that would pay off debt. But then they mention a strategy document that's going to be going out, and that would solve a lot of problems because people would go, this is what we're using it for. This is how we're going to do it. I mean, the reason that I understand it wasn't available is because they were trying to make it more digestible to fans, which worries me because I just think it's probably. I just hope that they're using accessible languages and maybe even some imagery would be quite useful. I think that's for a lot of people, just some, you know, charts. But so they're missing a strategy. So already people are going. I think we were online whilst it was going on. We were all chatting on our WhatsApp group, and I think the most common thing we kept putting is this isn't passing. There's no way this is getting through.
I don't think there's any way it's passing because it got. My mind was changed in the meeting. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for the 50.01. I think that's, let's have that lever. But then it was so confusing about some people saying this way, that way. Obviously, not protecting, not having the 50.01 as a super restricted action is bothers me anyway. But I was kind of on a positive, and afterwards, I'm like, actually, I don't feel like the strategy, like you say, is clear enough for me to go, yeah, I'm on board with that. So, yeah, it was a bit of a weird one. I kind of left a bit like, what?
Do you know, there's really easy things they could say, which are not said at the beginning. So what people are saying is there anyone in the wings waiting to buy this? And there's no one in the wings. And the reason is because they don't need anyone in the wings. The whole reason that we're going down to 50.01, the whole reason for having that vote to do that isn't to immediately sell shares. It's not to immediately sell them. It's to sell them if we need to. So in actual fact, we might get to a situation in a year or two and we still haven't sold them. You know, because something else has happened, our cash flows improved, we might have gone on and won the FA Cup. So, you know, there's all these reasons. They're putting it there as a safety net. That's the reason. And I don't think that messaging is clear enough. So that is why we're doing this. It's not about actually, if we do the vote the following day, there isn't going to suddenly be, we've sold, you know, 25% or however many percent of the share. That's not going to happen. That will be a further down the line if we need to. So that messaging hasn't been. And so for me, I think, okay, I can understand that because we, you know, it's giving us the option to sell it, but we're not selling it straight away. That message hasn't been made clear enough. And the fact that there's this strategy in the ether at the moment, that people will really want to see before they make their minds up on it is another thing. And I know, listen, I think the DTB have done quite well in putting up some frequently asked questions on their site. We're also going to put up, we're putting some stuff together as well, some questions, and we're going to give very simple answers to some of the main questions that there are. You know, what's the benefits of it? You know, the issue with minority stakeholders, safeguarding and stuff like that. I think there are some other questions out there that haven't been answered for me. It's things like, you know, what safeguards are in place to stop a minority shareholder selling on to someone else? You know, what happens then? But do we have a say in who people sell their shares onto, for instance? And can those minority shareholders sell to one person? Because I know it's a 15, you're allowed a mix maximum of 15% at the moment, but how does that stand up in court? You know, there's just some other little questions that could be asked. You know, what other income generating ideas are being explored? You know, what happens if it doesn't pass because it feels like, you know, this is the only option? And how are people going about getting potential shareholders? And also the big question is, why would you invest? You know, because it's not about getting your money back or, you know, increasing the percentage of the value of your
Well,
shares.
that for me is a big thing, right? at this point in time, I don't. I'm probably going to vote for the super restricted actions and probably not vote for the 50.01, because I think the super restricted actions is a good thing. I'd like more security against those. So you know, but you know, the reason for investing for me is because of our being a fan owned club and all the USP stuff that exists about what we are, right? And if we don't triple down on that, which again, as I've said on the other podcast or whatever, by locking that in as a non-negotiable, then it kind of, I don't see why anyone else would invest to get us down to even 50.01, because you know, if they, as they said in that meeting, well, we kind of want this emergency break in case of glass, which suggested they'd go, they would offer the option to go lower. They didn't put that as a super restricted action, so it would be okay, still under the hard restricted actions. I don't, like, why, you could end up investing to get the 15% thing, and then some random thing happens and someone else buys whatever, and then who knows what that means. It's kind of a bit weird. It's like, have your cake and eat it nightmare, you know?
Is this the time to go to this level? Because there'll be other funding. There might, in the years to come, be other options, other decisions we have to make where we want to go down to 50, but now we're at 50. Yeah, the only other option then is to not become fan owned. That will be the only other option. So if we go down to 50.01 now, we've got nowhere else left to go. But like I say, I think that it needs to be made really clear that by doing this doesn't mean we're selling straight away. And I think that needs to be, that messaging needs to be a lot clearer, that what this does is it gives the option to go down to 50.01. It doesn't mean we're going to go down to 15.01.
I think everything we've heard and everything we're trying to say is that is really, that is clear, that it's a lever to pull. There isn't anyone waiting to invest in that space, you know, and it's an option for us to use to pay off the debt, which would effectively be not the round of bonds in 2025, but the round of bonds in 2027. And it gives us an option while we continue to pursue other revenue generating streams. And it's just that there was a bunch of that where I was like, I wish the board could have been clearer in like a unified messaging. I'm not saying they were disagreeing and they weren't having the collective responsibility thing or whatever, but I wouldn't have minded like a real uniformed messaging. And that could have been on the website, followed up by, hey, we've got this SGM. When asked these questions, we don't mind who takes it, but if everyone can unifiably clearly say these 10 words, at least it would look super uniformed and united.
Well, we've said this before, and actually we don't necessarily, well, we've advocated for the fact that when a resolution, special or not, comes out, that rather than the DTB saying, the DTB recommend you go for this, that it should be the DTB recommend by 5-4 that you go for it. So then you could do your research. And it was clear, wasn't it, that there were at least a couple of people on the DTB who are not in favour of going down to 50.01. You know, and it's, I think that's healthy democracy. They, you know, and then they were allowed to speak as well, which is important. It's difficult. I mean, I think the one thing to also, you know, the big thing about if we do sell under 75%, not down to 50, but if we sell under 75%, so if we're even at 74, then minority stakeholders do have a little bit more power. So because for any special resolution to pass, you need over 75%. So if we're under that, then the DTB would have to work with minority shareholders to make sure that that special resolution passed. And they could, they might not, you know, like I said, we were all suffering from PTSD on the whole, it's 20 years ago.
But I also, I mean, I was going to say with that, I actually, and I know we talked about this PTSD thing, I think actually it's more about being masters of our own destiny. And at this point in time, we as fan owners have the ability to have say, because we can do votes and we can get engaged and whatever. And yes, we've already said we don't feel engagement is reaching as wide an audience as it should do with all of our new members, etc. But we get to make decisions. And so, like, one of the decisions we made previously as the owners was we said that we would not expect any of our PLC board members or Don's Trust members, for example, to take hospitality at Milton Keynes. We agreed that as a collective, and that was then agreed as something. You know, we agreed as a collective that we wouldn't take certain betting companies, etc. And so that, for me, is it's more the case that we get to have these conversations, we get to have these debates, we get to have a conversation where we can determine as a community behind Wimbledon what we think would make us look good, ensure that we continue to support the community around that, and that's what goes beyond the first team club, etc., etc. And so, for me, it's more a case of, like, how do we ensure we protect those things? And how do we then bring on board investors who will respect and understand that we tend to operate much more like a cooperative, and that we listen to our members and our members give us direction of travel? And I actually don't think that's about worrying that we would get taken over. It's about saying we don't want to be taken over, because it isn't about being top in the Premier League. It's about more than just the Saturday football. It's all these other things. And I think that's what we've got to protect. And I don't think that we aren't doing that. And I don't think we're putting our future at risk by saying, hang on a minute. Yes, we know we've got these bonds to pay. We know we've got things to do. But actually, we've done so many fantastic things. And why don't we lean more into the fact that we are more than just the football club on a Saturday afternoon, and that we can support all these things, and we can allow our members to have a say? You know, I mean, we don't have many kids, like, we don't have many young people engaging, right? But I know from the videos and things we've seen, young people care about the fact that we are different. And they might not think, how do I vote for this thing, or how do I get involved with that? Because it feels really dry and, you know, has a bunch of kind of crusty kind of whatever things around it that are related to being at, like, you know, needing AGMs and SGMs. But they all get it. They all get it.
I agree. I mean, I think they do, but I mean, I think there is this thing. I think a lot of football fans, it's a Saturday. It's the most important thing for them.
It's the most important thing for me as well. But I think everything shines out of
Yeah,
that.
all the board meetings. I mean, we do incredible work, and I think people are very proud of it. I mean, like DLAG, fantastic. Also coming up, by the way, is
Oh, the big sleep out.
the big sleep out at the stadium. That's coming up. If you're not going, then please at least donate. And I think Craig Cope is doing it. The guys have been genius, Marvel legend already. So I hope we've tied him down to a long-term contract. But yeah, that and DLAG do amazing work. So please give whatever you can to that cause. We'll put the links in this when we send it out as well. And that is something to be proud of. The fact that we're fans owned, the fact that we work with our local community and we do a load of great stuff there, I think is brilliant as well. We could do more. But we need to be looking about how we engage those passionate young people who are supporting us on Sunday in the FA Cup Tonkin of franchise. We need to be getting them involved in it as well. And we need to figure out how we do that without it becoming boring and dry. We have to work on our messaging somehow.
I think there are ways. I think there are ways,
There
definitely.
are ways. There are ways. You need to think about it. There are ways. We'll have a, good old think back. But then, I mean, I think, to be honest with you, it is almost finding out where people are. It's like, seeing if you could do stuff in literally going into the schools or going into the universities or going into colleges or those sort of things and just having chats, not long, just a half hour chats with people. Not, I'm not talking assemblies, I'm talking in classrooms, getting people to do things and, engaging using different ways of engagement. So it isn't just talking, which can for young people just can be a bit boring now. I mean, everyone's on 30 seconds and that's it. I'm gonna just move on quickly. And this is gonna be the 50 plus 0 and 1 is gonna be a constant theme. We'll get some other people in on next week. We'll have another bit of a chat about and see where people stand on it. And we're gonna chat all the way up until the 3rd of December about the DTB elections. So the nominations have closed. We have got our quite aptly for 8 places, we have our 12 angry men, and they are Martin Drake, Alex Foulkes, Ivor Heller, Simon Hood, Simon Howson-Green, James Longhurst, James McDonald, Sean McLaughlin, Graham Price, Adam Proctor, Dominic Proctor, and Ian Robinson. And I'm gonna declare now that for reasons I'm not entirely sure about, I nominated Martin Drake. He sits near us. He jangles his keys in my face when we've got corners. I mean, it was a moment of, anyhow, but so.
His key jangling doesn't upset you as much as it upsets Alex, so it's
No,
fine.
Alex, who is also standing. I mean, the truth is, if yourself, Martin and Adam are elected on, then we've literally got a row, in our little
That's
block
true. We have a row
of Don's Trust
of
board members. There will literally three of you sitting next to each other. Will be so
That's
that's
bad.
that's how diverse we're getting. It's not even down to, it's actually down to geographical areas of the ground.
Oh my word, yeah.
So it's but it's like I said earlier, there's, if we can engage with the universe or do something different, or invite, engage with local, use the council and engage with, those seldom heard voices, different groups across, that are in the vicinity of Somers Town, of our ground, and get them involved somehow, so there are different voices on there that are off that could offer a different perspective, and there can be community leaders or local businesses or people who could get on the board, just because our area, like London is incredibly diverse, and our fan base is getting more diverse, as it should be. But
And the thing, I mean, the thing is, we know that there's loads of Wimbledon fans that are super passionate about Wimbledon and what Wimbledon is, and us being fan-owned and all that good stuff, right? So it is a bit, it does feel a bit weird that there's a row where, three of us have said, oh yeah, we're as passionate as other people, but we've decided to put our hat in the ring. And that is a worry, because it's like, actually there are people who are just as, if not more, passionate than us, but they're not putting the hat in the ring, and that is either an engagement issue, a time issue. Like, there's gonna be reasons for it. I don't think it's just because they want to see people scoring on a Saturday,
exactly. I mean, I think, listen, the SGM, for all of its good, for even the one that was called, for all of its good, it's still 3 hours. There were still 3 hour meetings. Do you know what I mean? They're like, it's long meetings that, on a Monday or whenever they are. It's just like, there are things that other people want to be doing. So we need to work out how we can make these things more manageable. And you talk to people who have stood down or whatever, and it's a lot of times it's because, how much time it takes up.
Yeah.
It takes up an awful lot of time.
I mean, we talked to Graham,
And
didn't we? And he
yeah.
talked quite candidly about the amount of time he was putting in at that moment we were discussing. And of course, yeah, there's going to be moments of, where it's really busy and less busy, etc. But everything I've witnessed in terms of like looking in and trying to figure out stuff suggests that it is a highly demanding, unpaid, volunteer role that it takes, you know, money, it takes time, it takes considerable specific type of experience to engage with the kind of way that it's functioning as an oversight board, which I think when you look at it, I mean, it's one of the reasons I initially was like, I don't think I'm going to stand, ages, you know, a while ago. But then with stuff changing, I thought I had to stand, was because I was like, I don't know how much time and expense I can commit to this. And if I can't commit enough, am I only going to be giving a half-baked, you know, version of my commitment to the members who would be voting me on, who I'm supposed to represent, you know? And that obviously is a little bit of a worry, and I haven't talked about it too much detailed, but I am, you know, I'm going to think about how I engage with all the mechanism, if people vote for me, you know, how I would engage with all the mechanisms to make sure I properly represent those people who felt that my manifesto and the things I've said on here and elsewhere are things they want to get behind and encourage the DTB to put into place for the, as an oversight board. But I don't want to do it half, I don't want to do it half baked. I don't want to let those people down. I don't want to let people down who just read what I've said and think, oh, that would be good. If I can't do enough, but I tell you what, it does look on face value that it's a really demanding position.
I know people aren't in favour of this, but I would genuinely consider free season tickets whilst you're a DTB member. You should have your seat or your season ticket for free. And I think if you did something like that, it would encourage an awful lot more people to stand, and certainly younger people to stand as well, because you're getting something for it. And I think that the people, maybe people arguing against that, are people that can afford the time and afford the season ticket and whatever. And I think there's you have to look at other ways of incentivizing people to stand, because they're not going to it. As we say, if you look at that list of nominees, I don't know all of the people on there, but I'm guessing that they're all, you know, at least over 30, majority over 40. They're probably going to be, you know, and they've got a lot of experience, don't get me wrong, and a wonderful Wimbledon fans. I'm not discrediting them at all. I think it's a great list of people. It would just be wonderful to have, you know, younger people, and obviously more people from more diverse backgrounds and genders as well. Obviously, it'd be wonderful to have a more diverse group to vote from. And I think that,
yeah, I think there needs to be, I think because we talked about this a couple of times at different election points, there definitely needs to be a conversation about what is not enabling people who don't look like white guys to get involved and engaged. And it could be as simple as, you know, time. It could be as simple as cost. It could be as simple as, you know, a load of, but it's like, what are those things? And how might we open them up so that we can engage with those who are less privileged? Because we need that, you know, when we go to Plough Lane, it's a proper diverse, family-focused, community-focused space, you know, and everyone there is loves it, right? And then it's like, who's representing all that diversity? Like 12 angry white men. It's like, what the heck? You know, and... You know, I've been very fortunate to work with lots of diverse young people over the years, and continue to encourage diversity in the game space, which has diversity issues, toxic issues, and I know approaches that can do that. And I can be a great, I have been, and hope to be a great advocate for that. And but that the, if you can't see it, you know, you can't be in it, and it does, you know, it doesn't matter how much of an advocate I am. So I think there are some things to consider, and whether that is, I mean, it could, I don't know, I'm thinking off the top of my head, but it could be small things. It's like, okay, we've got a meeting on a Monday night, we want a bunch of people to come there. How do we figure out to get them there by donating train tickets? How do we figure out, like, to, you know, okay, it's an evening, it's going to be a long thing, maybe let's get some free pizza on from a local community, you know, or some, you know, like little things. I mean, I do a lot of that with students. It's like, okay, we've got a thing that's going to be really exciting. How can I get you involved? Okay, let's partner with the student union. Let's do this. Let's, like, you know, you have to kind of put incentive. You do have to put incentives in, and I don't think that's inappropriate if you do it in the right ways and you think about how, what it means, because the incentive is about engagement, not about bribery.
It isn't. No, you're right. I mean, it's not. It, and I can see how that crosses over, but it is offering those incentives because we need to do something. And obviously, you know, when you're on the board, Adam, then you can start to say, you know, the big.
I'm looking at that list. I'm telling you what, it's going to be tough. Actually, I will say, you know, I think we've got members who are obviously re-standing, or Alex has been co-opted and is now standing. I think experience at him in the role is really, really important. And so for me, that they get a really good leg up. And I think that's important, you know, and some of the people's manifestos look fantastic. They have really good experience, and they do, some of them have time to give because of their position in their career and whatever. And I'm fortunate. I have a semi-flexible, you know, I'm a control of my work to some degree, although I'm obviously teaching, I have less control over, but I determine that actually. So I, you know, I'm quite fortunate. I can flex things. But I think there's a good number of people. I would have liked there to have been double that number of people. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a bit more diversity, etc. But I think for anyone who does get on the board, I think it would, and I think I said this at the last election, we need to start straight away to think about the next election and how we make sure that it's engaging, etc. Particularly if people are standing for 2-3 years.
I agree. I think we definitely need to look at that. And it is, I mean, I think tonight obviously there's the you know, younger people going along to the Plough Lane, so hopefully the conversation there is, why didn't you stand, or why, you know, why, what can make you more engaged? That'd be a great question. And then obviously if again we can go out into the community and ask these sort of similar questions as well, and get an understanding about, you know, why people would or wouldn't want to stand, because we just need the voices of all of our fans need to be represented on the DTB. It's that simple. Anyhow, we've blathered on, and to be honest with you, we're going to keep blathering on until the 3rd of December when the votes closes. And you know, there's lots of other things going on in between times. We might even talk to football.
Yeah, and I just hope that we kind of get, I hope that those who are listening, whether there's one or four or whatever, that it gives some thinking space about some of these things that sit outside, you know. And yeah, we've always talked a lot about these issues and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm sure we'd also like to talk more about the football, but the main issue is that when it's only me and Matt, I can't speak for Matthew, but I know less about what's going on in the football oven than I want us to win every game. And I hope that we continue to do that. And so what am I going to say? Kick the ball in the goal. Like, it's not like a complicated football conversation for me, but I'm hoping if we can nail a few of these things down and think about what it means to continue to be fan-owned and the excitement and the wonderful stuff that is Wimbledon, it might also give us an opportunity to talk more about the football.
Well, on that note, and we are going to put our own Q&A thing up at some point. We've got some questions we're going to ask for some clarity from the DTB on. But yeah, anyhow, listener, hope it's been good. I hope you've enjoyed it, us chatting on. You know, always remember that it's been 3 in a row, and we're not the franchise out of the FA Cup, so it's not all dry conversations. Adam, thank you very much, my friend. It's been an absolute pleasure. Catch up with you next week. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.